Billy Cunningham, the great American, joining me now live from Washington is Steve Chabot, U.S. Congressman, many years in the Congress. One slight interruption, spent about 20 years there. Steve Chabot, welcome again to the Bill Cunningham Show.
Hello, Bill.
To show, give you an idea how bad things are as far as the president's behavior is concerned, I read the story out of the CBN file, the Christian Broadcasting Network. Apparently, a Roman Catholic priest was denied access to a military chapel on Sunday. Father Ray Leonard serves at a naval base in Kings Bay, Georgia, but because of the government shutdown, he wasn't allowed to go to celebrate Mass on Sunday. He was contracted by the Defense Department to meet the spiritual needs of Catholics. A sign on the door said, due to the government shutdown, there'll be no services today, unquote. I want to ask you this. How petty is the president getting when it comes to what he allows to be open, such as Michelle's, his wife's website, and what he shuts down?
Absurdly petty, Bill. What they've determined they're going to do is maximize the pain on the American people. During this temporary shutdown, it's just absurd. I mean, look at the honor flights, the World War II veterans coming up to their memorial, the World War II memorial. It costs more to have park people there to put up barriers to try to keep them out than it does to keep it open. And this is an open-air facility. It's not like it's an inside building at Mount Rushmore. Not only have they closed down Mount Rushmore, but they've put up barriers and cones at the overlooks along the highway so people can't even view the facility. They've closed down the D-Day Memorial in France. It costs more to close it down than it does to keep it open. Our troops overseas, one of the things that they are able to enjoy, if you can enjoy your time in Afghanistan or previously in Iraq, is the TV sports and entertainment channel. It's the American Forces Network. They shut that off for our troops overseas. I mean, it's one thing after another, completely petty, and they're trying to basically hurt the American people as much as possible and then blame it on Tea Party Republicans, for example. It's ridiculous.
Well, how about this little factoid? In the last 2 years, the debt has increased by $2.4 trillion in the last 2 years. In that same two-year period, the GDP of this country has increased by $1.1 trillion. So the debt in the last 2 years has increased twice as much as the gross domestic product. And so when I say to people, open up the stuff, many people are screaming, open up the stuff, pay out the benefits and all that. And all that's good to understand, but we are slow walking ourselves toward bankruptcy when your debt is increasing more than two times greater than the gross domestic product.
The debt
is everything. The debt's more important than Obamacare. The debt's more important than the Defense Department. We've got to control spending.
And the debt is going to eat us all up. It is eating us slowly right now, but it's going to get more and more rapid. I would recommend, if people want to go online and read Paul Ryan's op-ed in the Wall Street Journal this morning. It's excellent. He talks about a possible way out of this, and it's taking on entitlements, for example. You know, along those numbers that you just mentioned, Bill, the Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, the entitlement programs right now, which are really never touched, they're never in the debate even up here on what we ought to do to reform these and make sure that they're here not just for this generation but for future generations. All the attention is on the what are called discretionary items, which is like, you know, Head Start and our national highway system and foreign aid and our military and all that kind of stuff. But over the next 10 years, those things, the discretionary parts that I just mentioned, they're going to go up about 17% over the next 10 years. But entitlement programs, that's Social Security and Medicare, the checks out the door, are going to go up 79%. So 17% versus 79%. So that's where the real money is. And you don't have to cut the benefits. You just have to reform them and make sure that we're not doing a lot of stupid things that the federal government has been doing for years now.
So his political strategy is to inflict maximum pain upon the American people, including not paying the death benefits of fallen soldiers, to inflict all the pain and to transfer the pain caused by his policies onto the backs of Republicans like you. And let's face it, Steve, we live in an environment, because of social media, he may be successful in doing that, because the Republican popularity in Congress is about 10%. His approval rating has dropped to 37%, an all-time low for him. But he may be successful in blaming you in his goal. I think his goal in doing all this is all directed toward November of 14 to make sure Nancy Pelosi bookends his presidency with her in charge of the House, the feckless one, Harry Reid, in charge of the Senate. This is all directed toward two more years of explosion of spending, with the idea of murdering the middle class so that more and more people are on welfare or other government benefits to ensure a Democratic majority for generations to come.
Oh, I think it's very likely that that's what the intention is here, Bill. He's trying to maximize the pain on the American people. He knows that most of the folks in the mainstream media, the story that they'd written months ago was Republicans shut down the government. We're the unreasonable ones. Obama is just trying to do what's right for the American people. But he is the one that's inflicting the pain. And Harry Reid over in the Senate has been his willing accomplice on this stuff, because we've passed bills in the House, quite a few of them, to open up most of the government. For example, you know, the Veterans Department, NIH, which funds healthcare research for children, things like children's cancer. And a reporter asked Harry Reid, you know, why wouldn't he support the House's vote to open up NIH so they can continue research on important things like children's cancer? And his response, because the reporter said, well, if we could even save one child, wouldn't it be worth it? And he said, well, why would we want to do that? I mean, the guy is just clueless when it comes to what's right for the American people, but they've been working hand in hand. We have voted to open all the parks and the memorials and all this. Harry Reid won't even take up the legislation in the Senate because they think that through the mainstream press, the Republicans are going to get the blame. And I think you're right, Bill. I think the long-term strategy by the president is to hold out, be as intransigent as possible on this, don't negotiate, don't talk to the House, and blame us for everything from the shutdown to the debt ceiling challenge, which we face probably next week. And if he can inflict enough pain, blame it on Republicans, he has a chance to take back the House next time. And then in his last 2 years, we could have the same complete control by the liberals as they had in his first 2 years, when we got the stimulus, which stimulated more government growth, but not growth in the private sector, when we got Obamacare, when we got Dodd-Frank, and a whole range of other things. So I think that's what his plan is.
I predict next week you probably won't vote for it, but there's going to be a super committee, put together, and there's going to be a clean CR. And you're going to probably vote no, but enough Republicans and Democrats will vote yes. And then there'll be some agreement over the next 30, 60, 90 days to have this, quote, super committee, like a Simpson-Bowles committee, get together to recommend spending changes, which the president will then reject. And then 2014 will be fully underway, and there's going to be marches and protests against the Republicans. He does not want to solve this problem. If he solves the problem, he takes off the table the best political campaign arguments he has next November. If he accepts Simpson-Bowles, if he was serious about spending less money in Washington, he would have accepted his own commission, Erskine, Bowles, and Alan Simpson. He would have accepted that commission's recommendations 3 years ago. But he knew if he did that, he would anger the most liberal, the most extreme parts of his base, which includes the media. And by not doing so, disregarding them, he tipped his hand and said, look, I'm not going to change anything. I want more and more Americans to receive government benefits so as to ensure Democratic success in the future. What happens? Play this out for us, Steve Chabot, a week from today when the 17th, week from tomorrow when the 17th rolls around. Do you see a clean CR with this blue ribbon panel to get together to change everything?
That's possible, Bill. I don't know. I can't, you know, predict if that's going to happen, but that's certainly a possible scenario. I hope that Republicans don't back down and cave in for some thing which is clearly not going to do anything that's going to benefit the country, but it might get people out of a PR pickle, you know, that they may be in now. But I think that's that would be the wrong way to go.
How would Steve Chabot vote on that?
I would be inclined to vote no. I'd obviously have to look at the thing, which doesn't exist yet, and see all the details. But it certainly looks like something that I would not support. But I would reserve my judgment until I've had a chance to look at it at that time. Hopefully it isn't going to come to that, but it certainly is one possibility.
What do you think about the Tea Party?
Well, I think it's been very good for the country and getting and good for Republicans overall. I think they've gotten a lot of undeserved animosity from folks for example being violent or being racist and things like that when it's just made up. You know, I've been to various Tea Party events, and that's not what goes on there. For the most part, most of the people that are involved in the Tea Party movement are folks that are disgusted with how large our government has grown and how intrusive it is on our personal lives, and how the government's in our pocketbook and taxes are going up. And they were particularly incensed about Obamacare. And why in the world this administration is getting away with what I think a perfectly reasonable compromise that Republicans have offered to Obama is to say, okay, you gave all the big businesses in the country a pass. Not that you could even legally do it, but you gave them a year delay of the employer mandate affecting you. And Republicans are saying, if you did it for big business, why can't we do that for the rest of the American people? Do it for the little guy if you did it for the big guy. And he's saying no. And it gets very little coverage. I think he's been completely unreasonable on that.
Well, he's successful to this extent that his administration has made Jimmy Carter look like Ronald Reagan, whether it's Fast and Furious or Benghazi, whether it's the IRS scandals, whether it's the drones, whether it's NSA snooping on everybody, or whether it's the rollout of Obamacare, unmitigated disaster for 5 years. Where are the jobs? There are no jobs. The middle class is getting its head taken off. His policies have failed. His foreign policy is a joke. And so every time when the American people begin to focus on the failures of his policies, something happens that he refocuses the nation's attention on something in which he can blame other people for his misconduct. And so this, again, Obamacare has been a disastrous rollout over the last 3 or 4 days. It's awful. But because of the government shutdown, all the media is covering this event over there instead of the obliteration of Obamacare as a national policy. It is a dismal failure. It's not working. The jobs numbers are terrible. American foreign policy around the globe is a joke. The red line in the sand with Syria was crossed and nothing happened. He's allowed the Russians to get back into the Middle East right now. His whole presidency has been a bad joke. But because of the media's non-coverage of him and the failures of his policies and his ability to distract attention, once again, the government shutdown is a weapon of mass distraction that he employs so we don't think about the failures of his economic policies, the failures overseas, or the failures of Obamacare. And so the attention is on something over which he can blame somebody else for his misconduct. And Steve Chabot, he gets away with it.
Well, he does, and he's been absolutely, you know, unwilling to negotiate with the elected representatives of the American people. But he'll negotiate with Putin or the mullahs of Iran or Assad of Syria, but he won't negotiate with the folks who have been sent to Washington as you know, one-third of the government. He won't talk to them, and it's really outrageous. And, you know, one other thing, Bill, as far as the pain that he's inflicted, one thing that I forgot to mention was he also, you know, wanted to close down Mount Vernon, George Washington's home just outside of Washington, and, you know, he wasn't able to do that because it's privately owned by a group called the Mount Vernon Ladies Association. So he ordered the park rangers to close off access to the parking lot to it because it was half owned by the government and half owned by the Mount Vernon Ladies Association. And one park ranger down there said that he was so embarrassed by it. He said, you know, we've been told to make life as difficult for people as we can. It's disgusting. That's what a park ranger said who was embarrassed by having to keep the public out of a facility. You know, George Washington's home. you know, we'll let them go there, but we won't let them park. I mean, how absurd is this? Let's use some common sense here, and that's been completely absent by this administration and this whole shutdown thing. It's just like our veterans, you know, killed in not veterans, but our soldiers killed in Afghanistan, for example. And the House and the Senate, and he actually signed legislation to pay our troops, and the people on that committee said that was included in anything like this. So this is another example of just unnecessarily inflicting pain on people, but to make sure that it's clear that these folks ought to be paid, the House is taking up legislation this afternoon to resolve that issue. Hopefully Harry Reid will take that up.
Probably not. He won't take it up because the media continues to blame Republicans. So as long as that happens, he has no incentive to change his policies. Plus, yesterday, 21 Americans were given citations for entering the Grand Canyon with a mandatory order to appear in federal court.
And so
I watch this going on, and I'm thinking, if a Republican president, if George Bush had 10% of the scandals and problems of Obama, it would be the biggest story in the world, but the media will cover for him because they got him elected.
Yep.
So we got to run, Steve Shabbat.
Okay.
Good luck. See what happens. We'll have you on again next week.
Thank you very much, Bill. Take care.
All right, Steve Shabbat. Let's continue with more. Coming up at 107 today is the God, the King of Sports Talk, Bob Trumpy, live on News Radio 700 WLW. You know, for nearly 20 years, Bob Trumpy was on from 6 to 9 p.m., and I was on from 9 p.m. to midnight. That's the way it was for nearly 20 years on 700 WLW. Although he's gone, been gone for about 10 or 11 years, maybe longer, because of his duties at NBC, where he was their prime color analyst and also the voice of the Summer Olympics. He's been gone off radio, largely in Cincinnati. But he's coming back with me and you in about 8 or 9 minutes to talk about the Bengals today, Dusty Baker and more, and where the Reds go from here, where the Bengals go from here, where you and I go from here. I've been honored to work with many great people in radio, from Jim Scott to Gary Burbank to Bob Trumpy. But nobody did it better. Nobody did it better than Bob Trumpy. He'll be with me to talk about the current events, the Bengals, Mike Zimmer, Artrell Hawkins. He's going to be with me tomorrow to talk about Adam Pac-Man Jones and also what's going to go on with the Red Legs, Dusty Baker, and more. So stay tuned for Bob Trumpy, the great Bob Trumpy. And coming up after 2 o'clock today will be a gentleman named John Morse with the Association of Building Contractors, who say that the Liberal Democrats on City Council is costing you, wherever you live, billions and billions of dollars. John Morse of the Association of Building Contractors, that's after 2 o'clock today at your home of the Reds, News Radio 700 WLW.